For about a month before Carolyn passed away, me and Dell met every Friday down at Norma's for breakfast. And we shared a lot of things. At the end, he said, "What have you learned in this whole process?" I don't know whether he thought maybe just the last year or the last 54 years. So I'm going to focus actually on the 54 years, and that's why I gave you this slide presentation this morning. If I was to give a title to my message this morning, it would be from John 8:32. "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." I don't know a verse in the Bible that holds more promise and more hope than John 8:32. For Christ says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." I do not know of a better formula for exalted living than what is written in this verse. The way to find more peace, joy, and commitment is through the belief in Jesus Christ, for He is the way. The truth is found in the teachings of Christ, and life is truly found in following the examples that Christ has taught us. I do not know of anyone who has found more life from the depths of despair than Carolyn and I. It is very well documented, the struggles that life came through. The strength for the task The struggle for the truth, self-identity, and wholeness has been being a person of value. Took its toll on the life that she had. Always looking for a right to even exist was overwhelming at times. Never being able to find true worth of God, grace, and meeting up to the high standards that was expected of her from her father. It is very scary indeed when we try to find happiness and the meaning of life in other people's advice and examples for our life. We become controlled in every thought, word, and deed. There's a story which I heard years ago which illustrates the best example that I know of. That was the old guy down in the Appalachian Mountains who had an old mule named Heine. In this particular year, the crops had been very sparse, and he knew that he didn't have enough to feed his old mule during the winter. So he decided he'd better take him to town and sell him so that he didn't suffer. So he set out for town with his small boy. They would go along, and he went past the neighbor's house. And the woman says, "You better put that little boy up on that mule. because he's not going to make it all the way to town. So the old farmer put his little boy up on the mule and they took off. He goes further, saw another neighbor. The neighbor says, "You better take the little boy off and you better ride the old mule. You're so old and decrepit, you'll never make it to town." So he took the boy off and he hopped up on the old mule. Goes a little further. Neighbor says, "Well, neither one of you are going to make it. You better both ride the mule." So they both rode the mule. Went to another neighbor and the guy says, "You're going to break that old mule down before you ever get to town." So they both got off the old mule. The last neighbor said, "The old mule's so skinny, he's not going to make it to town. You better carry the mule." So he started carrying the mule and they came to this bridge over a gorge. It had been raining, so they started across the gorge and the old guy slipped and the mule went over the bridge down into the gorge. The moral of that story is, if you follow the advice of others and try to do what they tell you to do, you're liable to lose your hiney. What is truth, and how do we find it? Several years ago, her therapist showed her a record. It's called "The Universe is Singing," composed and sung by Sebastian Temple. And on this record is a song which I'd like for you to play right now, which gives us an idea of what is truth and how do we find truth. So at this time I'll have you play that song and see if you can figure out how God has produced truth.
I sing a song of Teilhard de Chardin, of the poet, scientist, the priest and man, who blended two opposing views to bring a peace to mankind's endless squabbling. He harmonized the views of scientists with the ardent faith of the religionists. In his heart a fire burned, in his mind a light that gave a fourth dimension to our three-dimensional sight. The scientist found matter had a soul. He showed its growth a part of spirit's whole. He saw that evolution is God's plan to free creation through the mind of man. That science and religion is a twin. Science the without, religion the within. He showed how Christ is everywhere, how man was born to be, the channel through which matter finds its real identity. Yes, Teilhard was a prophet, Mr. Priest, in whom the selfish ego almost ceased. And when they stopped him publishing because they said his work was wrong and full of flaws, he prayed, "If what I write is in accord with your truth, let me die Easter Sunday, Lord." And Teilhard died on Easter Sunday. God answered his call. It seems the seed must die before it yields its fruit at all. And now his name lives on and seems to say that the cosmic consciousness is our way. It doesn't seem to matter where we stand.
He said that if we tried, God says if we put the truth in the universe, in science, man will find it. But if we put it deep within the heart of man, he'll have to search long and hard for it and will finally find the truth. And I believe that is the reason why a lot of people never find the truth. They don't want to sit down and take the time to find the will of God for their life. One of the things that I became aware of many years ago was the voice of God in my questioning and the ways and his precepts. Sometimes he speaks in an audible voice, and sometimes he speaks through words that I hear just going on around me. I remember the first time when I got, Carolyn was out here shortly after, I became very serious about my commitment to God. And I was driving down the road one day thinking about what God meant to me and in my life. And I heard this ad for tombstones on the radio. And the gist of the advertisement was, we don't buy a tombstone because somebody died. We buy a tombstone because somebody lived. And that has struck me down through the years. I serve Jesus Christ not because he died, but because he lives. Another time, an audible voice, I was very angry at my daughter. And I was talking to God. I said, God, she's the most procrastinated person in the whole wide world. She's number one in the whole wide world. And I heard the voice of God say, oh, I don't think so. I think she's number two. Sometimes the voice of God gives us instructions that we really don't want to hear. But if we are willing to listen to God's voice and what he has to say, we'll learn a lot about ourselves and about other people. I became aware of the meaning of God in my own life, that of my awareness and my communication with God on a daily basis was more important to me than any other pursuit in the world. The loss of his presence in my life would be the most devastating thing in all the world. This to me is a description of holiness and sanctification. I've heard these words all of my life. The true desire to know God with all costs. What is the benefit? Peace and contentment. The absence of pain and suffering caused by my own stupidity and bullheadedness. I have screwed up so many times to try to do it my own way that I know that Christ's way works. The desire to know the truth brought both of us through a relationship of 54 years. By most standards, we wouldn't have lasted 10 years in a day of self-gratification. Truth be damned. One of the enduring sayings around here at New Hope is, it's always too soon to quit. What your core beliefs are will determine what your future holds. One of the basic beliefs that was revealed to me during the last 3 months has been, tell me how you are preparing for death, and I will tell you how you are preparing to live. I can well remember when Carolyn became aware of God's grace and presence in her life. A sharp contrast. What she wrote several years before. To kind of get a message for her anguish, I'll read what she wrote in her own words. The title is Come Death. Come Death, lay down beside me. Put your head upon me and warm me. Cover me with your shadow that I may have light. Close my eyes that I might see beauty again. Hold me in your clutches so I can be free. Overtake me so I won't be alone. Give me your kiss. I want to feel loved. Come, death, lay down beside me. Sleep with me. Let me sleep with you, that I may know peace. When she became aware of God's forgiveness and grace, she wrote another poem called From Fantasy to Reality. She was quite a writer and really expressed herself in such a way that it's very revealing. And she wrote a poem about a dinghy, which represented her life. And she talked about this dinghy, and then also she thought she was in an airplane. I'm just kind of paraphrasing what she wrote because I don't have time to read the whole thing. And the difference between being in the dinghy and in an airplane was the struggles that it took for her to guide her dinghy along life's way. But at the end, she found that the directions for her dinghy was found in Jesus Christ, for he was a sextant that would help her through her journey. A song which comes to mind is an old hymn called Peace, Peace, Wonderful Peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep over my spirit forever, I pray, in boundless billows of love. The truth is, God's sustaining power. This is what has kept our marriage for these 54 years, and knowing the truth about what really happened in our lives. God revealed to me what really happened before the truth was ever told to me about what happened in her life. And like I say, God reveals himself in many ways. And the truth came to me one day, shortly after New Hope started, that me and Dell went down to the Crystal Cathedral for a winter conference that Dr. Schuller put on. And on the way back, I was sitting on an airplane trying to figure out what my purpose in life was and what how best I could serve at New Hope. And there was this young kid sitting across from him and his little sister. He's probably about 3 or 4 years old. And this is in January. And he had a snotty nose. It was all over his face. And they were just raising all kinds of ruckus. And I was trying to read a book, and I was becoming very angry. And when we came to SeaTac, getting ready to land, and they started up this little game, can you see what I see? Boy says, you see what I see? And the little girl said, no. He said, well, I see this red truck down there. She said, well, do you see what I see? And this went on for quite a while, and I was really becoming irritated. We landed, and a couple days later, I was out working on a job, trying to figure out what my role in life would be and to help New Hope. And all of a sudden, I heard this four-year-old kid's voice and the voice of God say, do you see what I see? And I became aware that if I was to be able to communicate with people, be an influence in other people's life, I had to go where they were. I had to see what they saw. I had to see into their life to see what made them tick. Not in a judgmental way, but in a way of understanding and truth that I could best represent God in their life. The truth is God's sustaining power. The life is God's keeping power. And I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. What keeps me at peace is the truth of Jesus Christ and his promises. My response is found in an old hymn, for God so loved this sinful world, his life he truly gave, that whosoever will believe eternal life shall have. 'Tis true, oh yes, 'tis true. God's wonderful promise is true. For I've trusted and tested and tried him. And I know God's promise is true. In closing, I would like to leave you with one amazing revelation God gave me at Carolyn's passing. My prayer from the beginning was, not my will, but thine be done. I've learned to pray that way. The human in us comes to be that God will restore someone to health and wholeness. That's our humanity speaking. God revealed to me he did not answer my prayer, not just the human terms. Well, we always don't think outside of the box. How much more healing can you get than having a new body, healed from all diseases, forever and eternal? A new body and a new spirit. Not of this world, but of the world to come. I had never thought of that. Yeah, God answered prayer. not on my terms, but on His terms. What would benefit me would be to have her here. But what would benefit Carolyn would be with her Lord. So let us celebrate. The victory is won, and a crown of righteousness forever. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Life can be very tough sometimes. But I've found through all these years of trials and tribulations that Jesus Christ is a sustaining power that lasts through the ages. A peace that nobody can give. A lot of people ask me during the whole process, how are you holding up? How are you doing? And my response always has been, I'm doing well. Only through the grace of God and His peace and understanding in life can give us the contentment and the promise of a new life at the end of our journey. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you this morning for the life that you have given us. For thy keeping power, thy sustaining power, and the revelation of yourself in our lives. We pray that as we go from here today, that our life shall become even more an example of your marvelous grace. We pray for each one here today that no matter whatever trials and tribulations come our way, that our outlook in life shall always be in finding your will for our life, your truth and your meaning, which can bring joy and peace and contentment in life. Bless us as we go from here today. Guide us, direct us, and give us the love which you have shown throughout the whole world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.